Little bit of Groundhog Day in Pakistan. Benazir Bhutto remains under house arrest in Lahore, surrounded by a reported 1,000 police officers. The U.S. announced this morning Deputy Secretary of State John Negroponte will head to Pakistan to do who knows what about the situation where Musharraf has cracked down on any dissent. That's a lot of manpower to keep the returning former prime minister of Pakistan immobile, basically. She appears to have massive civilian support upon her return from 8 years of self-imposed exile. Now, I use the word appears because a complete picture of Benazir Bhutto reveals a really complex character, not just a white knight S coming to save the day. Ahmed Rashid is a journalist usually based in Pakistan and the author of Taliban, Militant Islam, Oil and Fundamentalism in Central Asia. Thanks for joining us, Ahmed.
Thank you.
Now, this media image of Benazir Bhutto has largely been portrayed as one of a great hope for the people. Does that jibe with reality?
Well, she's had certainly a very mixed past. I mean, she's been prime minister twice, and both terms she was summarily dismissed by the military, but she was also accused of massive corruption, and some of these cases against her are still pending in the Pakistani courts and in courts in Switzerland and London and Spain. Before she came, President Musharraf passed an ordinance which would absolve her of any corruption cases in Pakistan, but the foreign cases do continue. However, it must be said that under the last 8 years of military rule, it's quite normal that actually no new politicians have really emerged. And certainly Pakistanis are not besotted with the idea of having to resuscitate old politicians who've been tested and tested badly, such as Bhutto and her main rival, former Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif. But this is the hand that that Pakistanis have to play at the moment against continued military rule.
I'm wondering about her motivation. How much of this fight is personal for her, considering the army basically killed her father, a former leader of Pakistan?
Well, I think it's a mixture of both. I mean, I think there is she's been in exile now for 9 years. She wants to prove that she can come back and make a go of it. Secondly, her party and her followers and supporters are very, very supportive of her. The party really wouldn't function without her. I mean, this is one of the big dynastic parties of South Asia, just like we have in India and in Pakistan. The party really wouldn't be able to function properly without her. So it's a mixed bag, but at the same time, it must be said that there was a lot of skepticism until the last 48 hours about her wanting to cut a deal with Musharraf and, in fact, to share power with Musharraf.
That's a question I have for you. You know, I was watching a report. I can't remember who I was watching it, but it had a local Pakistani who said, you know, she is in this for the power just as much as Musharraf is. Is that fair?
Well, no. I mean, I think she has an agenda that has always been anti-army, that has been anti-extremist, anti-mullah, and that's an agenda that resonates in at least one-third of the population. Her party's always won about 30% of the vote, she'll probably continue to do so. So I think it's very important that you do get a genuine liberal who's willing to stand up to extremism, willing to stand up to the army and bring about some kind of democratic rule.
We're talking to Ahmed Rashid, who is a journalist who is usually based in Pakistan, talking a little bit about getting a little more of a complete picture of Benazir Bhutto, more than just the headlines and the sound bites we hear on the news. Let's talk a little bit about this, Ahmed, her use of the media. She has used it to her advantage, giving press conferences even while under house arrest and duress. I want to play you a little bit of an interview she actually gave just yesterday to NPR's Morning Edition. This is about the possibility of working with General Musharraf.
The people around General Musharraf won't let him do it, even if he wanted to do it. In the newspapers, for instance, today the ruling party has called for my arrest. But I think one has to speak up. And the truth is, today Pakistan is at the hands of disintegration because of the terrorist advance. And it's because we are not clear in defining that it's these extremists, it's these militants who are threatening to disintegrate our country by expanding their influence from the tribal areas into the settled areas.
Is she correct, Ahmed?
Yes, I mean, I think she is very much. I think Musharraf has been playing very much a double game, both with the Americans and the international community, and he's shown a remarkable willingness to, at times, fight the extremists, but at other times, to make peace deals with them. And I think since her return, people have really seen her as the one person who's capable of uniting a very divided opposition. I mean, that has been one of Musharraf's big advantages, that the opposition is very divided between right and left, between pro-Benazir and anti-Benazir. But now that she's taking this line of opposing the government and refusing to share power with him, I think there's a much better chance that she will play a unifier role.
Now, there are obviously already others in prison for their roles in what has been termed this opposition movement. Why is she under house arrest? How does that benefit Musharraf?
Well, clearly, to prevent her, she was wanting to make a march with her supporters from Lahore to Islamabad, the capital, and a march that would obviously bring out tens of thousands of people. And the government was absolutely adamant that under the emergency, there can be no such public gatherings, there can be no political show of force. And that was the first reason they put her in. But secondly, I mean, Musharraf, right through this, the last 8 days that we've had this emergency, he's been putting, over something like 10,000 people are now in jail, starting off with the lawyers and with members of civil society, human rights activists, and now politicians and people of her own party. Hundreds and hundreds of people of her party have also been picked up in the last 48 hours to stop them making this march.
Ahmed, you bring up an interesting point. It dovetails into some news this morning that Imran Khan was arrested by Musharraf's government. He's a cricket star. A lot of people know him, an opposition leader in his own right. So does this mean that just anyone who dissents at this point is going to be arrested?
Yes, absolutely. And I think the point you made earlier, I mean, she has, if you like, hogged the headlines and the Western media. But the fact is that there is enormous resistance being put up by the lawyers, by judges, by civil society, by women's groups. And students now have come into the field for the first time in more than 30 years. We haven't had a student movement until now. But at the moment, the media is concentrating on her. But there are, there are huge areas of society who are resisting and are going to jail, and who are not necessarily getting the kind of media coverage that she is.
Is there hope that Pakistan can transition into a true democratic government?
Well, I really think now that it's impossible with Musharraf in power. I don't think the opposition or civil society, all these people who've gone to jail, I don't think anybody is now willing to accept any kind of election or any kind of deal which leaves Musharraf in place. I think that the universal demand now from all the protesting elements is that Musharraf should resign as both president and army chief.
The United States is sending Deputy Secretary John Negroponte to the region on Friday. And I sort of made a lighthearted comment, like, to do who knows what. What use could he be?
Well, I can only hope that in private he would be giving Musharraf some kind of ultimatum. That is, lift the emergency, free the political prisoners, allow political gatherings, etc., or face a much more serious loss of American support. So far, the Americans, publicly at least, have been seen to be backing Musharraf. John Negroponte, just 4 days ago, in a testimony to Congress, said that Musharraf was indispensable. Well, and that went down very badly in Pakistan. It resulted in yet another wave of anti-Americanism. President Bush has also called him indispensable and said that he still trusts Musharraf. The problem now is that the Pakistani people don't trust Musharraf, and they don't think he's indispensable. And I think, you know, the American line, I think before it's too late, has to shift rather dramatically if the Americans are going to retain some kind of popular support in Pakistan.
This is your home country, and you've covered the politics and the people of Pakistan for decades. Did you see all of this coming?
Well, absolutely. I mean, people like myself have been writing about this, that what Musharraf is trying to do, to have a rigged election, to deny the leading opposition figures from coming back to the country from exile, all this is really in the long term unsustainable. And the Americans, the more they pursue this policy of supporting Musharraf, the more anti-Americanism would spread in Pakistan, and that would make the whole fight against extremism much more difficult. And that's what has happened. Today, the Pakistani public is very reluctant to fight extremism because they see it as a demand that is coming from Washington. They're not seeing it as necessarily something that Pakistan should be combating and dealing with. So the kind of suspicions and dislike, and I would even say hatred, for the Americans now, not just amongst rural people or the extremists, but amongst the middle classes. I mean, the middle classes who are going to jail today and for the last so many days have not seen a single statement from the Americans which shows any kind of sympathy that they are struggling for democracy and that they want free elections. The statements have all been in order to back Musharraf. And this, I think this policy is now seriously backfiring, because if you alienate the Pakistani middle class, the educated elite, and all these different sections of society that support democracy, I think President Bush is really shooting himself in the foot.
How realistic, to bring this back to our original conversation, is that Benazir Bhutto would regain power?
Well, that still has to be seen, because presumably down the road there will be an election, and hopefully it will be free and fair. I don't see her necessarily regaining total power or winning an election outright. I think she would have to probably make a coalition government of sorts, and she may not be the prime minister, there may be someone else. But I think a coalition government right now would be a good thing, because it would perhaps bring together these political parties and bring people onto a common platform so that together they could combat extremism.
Amef Rashid is the author of Taliban, Militant Islam, Oil and Fundamentalism in Central Asia, a journalist based in Pakistan. Thank you so much for taking time out. I know you're in Spain. Appreciate you joining us on the Bryant Park Project.
Thank you.
Ali, you know the perfect way to spend a night: bottle of wine or box of wine, like 10 episodes of Top Chef on the TiVo. Drink wine, watch episode, repeat.
Yes, order out, order in.
Right.
Maybe cook it yourself.
Maybe try. Well, a big part of that show is Padma Lakshmi, and she's also got a new cookbook out. She's going to be here. I think she's bringing food. Is there food involved? Kind of.
She's kind of giving us a yes,
We're
maybe
inside
so.
A soundproof booth. Oh, well, it looks like some kind of sauces. Okay, I'll eat anything at this hour. That's coming up on the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.